Thank you, Hodiah. Man, God has been so faithful in leading us to people who are ready. And, you know, I like to think about things that Jesus says. I mean, I do that every day. But I like when we do evangelism, I really like to think about the things Jesus said about evangelism. He said, the harvest is ready, and they have to go get ready for a drama. They're putting on costumes, so that's why they're leaving. They've heard me talk too much anyways. Jesus says, the harvest is ready, but the workers are few. And he says, what does he say after that? He says, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth his laborers. And, you know, that's a really interesting prayer. I probably should have used that verse, but I didn't think of it till right now. But that's a really interesting thing that Jesus tells us to pray for. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth his laborers. He's not saying, ask that God will bring them into our church. He's not saying, ask that the Lord would speak to their hearts or give them dreams or visions. He says, ask the Lord to send forth his laborers. And, you know, when I read that, I can't help but think, Lord, you're probably talking about me first. You know, I should probably be, yes, I'm going to pray that prayer, but I should probably be willing to be an answer to it. You know? I want to look at a few verses, and I'm not going to be very long today. We're going to do a drama that we've done on the street, and the young people have worked really hard, and it's a really great drama. It touches my heart every time I watch it. But I want to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And I'm actually just going to read from here because it's a version that you're seeing. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And, you know, growing up, I grew up in the church. I didn't really start walking with God till I was in my 20s and in college. But I grew up in the church, and I remember people talking about how much they wanted Jesus to return. And I don't think there's anything wrong with longing for Jesus to return. But like Jim said, or Pastor Jim, or Jim, you don't care. All right. But like he said, a lot of times I think we want Jesus to return because we're tired. We're worn out. And I think we can get worn out when we do grow weary in doing good. We can get worn out when we aren't full of hope, when we aren't spending that time with him. And it can seem like God is delaying the things that he promised. It really can. But his desire is that none would perish, but all would have eternal life. I met John in 2000, John, the guy that spoke here last week. So I met him in, where's my wife? What year did we meet? I can't say his last name. When did I go to Mongolia? So I met John in 2005 in Mongolia. We had a team from Pittsburgh going there, and John was setting up our outreach trip like you guys are setting it up for us here. And it was an amazing time. And, you know, it's a real privilege to be able to tell someone about Jesus who has never heard of him before. And all across the nation, everywhere we went, people were actually really excited to hear about Jesus. They were wide open to giving their lives to Christ, to studying the Bible. And not all of them, but most of the people we talked to were really happy to talk about the things that they believed because they didn't have any hope for the future. They didn't at all. We were in one village, not a village actually, we were in a city, and the city was Ulaanbaatar, it's the capital, and we were right near the school, and the school was letting out, and we did the drama and dance that we did here on the street, and then our team went out and talked to people. Now, this day, something happened that I don't think I'd ever seen before. Well, the first part I've seen before. So our team went out and they were sharing, and this old woman absolutely lost her mind on one of our team members. We had a girl on our team named Anna, and she was about maybe 5 foot tall, and she was a student. She was just learning how to do this. And this old Mongolian woman absolutely lost it on her. And I was watching her wave her arms and scream and yell, and the translator frantically trying to translate from Mongolian into English. I've seen that kind of thing before. But what happened next, this is actually the only time I've ever seen this, is she bowed her head and she gave her life to Christ. And I was like, sitting there watching the whole thing, hoping I wouldn't have to beat up an old Mongolian woman for attacking one of our team members. And then she gives her life to Christ. And I'm like totally confused, you know. And then Anna came back all bug-eyed and said, I was like, what just happened? She started tearing up. She said, my family has been Buddhist for hundreds of years. And you Christians have had the solution to an eternal life in hell, and none of you came and told them. And she had every right to be upset that day. She said, where have you been? Where have you Christians been? My ancestors are in hell because they worship the birds, they worship the spirits, they prayed to their dead ancestors. Where have you been? And a few of us then went over to the woman and apologized for the Christians that hadn't done what we were supposed to do. But her life was changed that day, and I hope her family. You know, Jesus, we're going to skip the next verse for time, but you can go to the third one. Jesus gave us all a ministry. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Other versions say, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So if we have been reconciled to God, and I hope that all of us have been reconciled to God, that our sins have been forgiven, that we're walking with him in intimate relationship, and that the barrier of sin has been taken out of our lives, and that we have closeness with God on a daily basis. And if we have that, he has also given us the word, or the ministry of reconciliation. The next verse says, we are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He's given every one of us a high calling to be an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. A few years ago, when President Obama was in office, I don't know about Philadelphia. Yeah, I know about Philadelphia. All right, so in Pittsburgh, we're really proud of our Steelers, right? And I know you're proud of the Eagles if you're a football fan. I'm sure. But in Pittsburgh, you know, we live, breathe, bleed black and gold, and I'm sure it's the same thing here, but not with the Steelers. But when Barack Obama was president, he called Mr. Rooney, the owner of the Steelers, and he asked him to be an ambassador to Ireland. And, you know, it was like front page news story in Pittsburgh. President Obama asked Mr. Rooney to be an ambassador to Ireland. And it was like all over the local news. It was such an exciting thing. I mean, I don't know. I guess we're bored. But it was such an exciting thing for the city of Pittsburgh that one of our own, our famous Rooney family, the owners of the Steelers, were asked to be an ambassador for the nation to Ireland. And it is a high honor. It was a high honor. He resigned a few years after doing it. But God has called us to be ambassadors of his kingdom to this world. We are the kingdom of God's ambassadors to this world. He has called us to bring people out of darkness and into the light. You can go ahead to the next verse. Before I read this, who knows the first command that Jesus gave to the New Testament church? I'll give you a hint. It starts with come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus' first command to the New Testament church was follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus' last command in the Gospels is this, the Great Commission. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Christ's last command in the Gospels is to go into all the world. You know, when my wife has something really important that she wants me to do, she knows that I'm going to forget. Any other guys like that? You have wives that need to remind you for things? Like simple things like take out the trash on Tuesdays. You know, she not only reminds me before bed, but she leaves a little note by the coffee maker in the morning because it's really important to her. And I wish I had a memory like hers. I just don't. But it's important to her. And, you know, before she discovered the note system, when I would wake up in the morning, I get up before her. Her head would pop up. She'd like, take out the trash. And then, like, immediately back down. It's true, right? All right. And so we need to be reminded, and I know this isn't just men. We, as people, need to be reminded of the important things in life. And Jesus, over and over again, talked about how important it was for us to pursue those that don't know him. His first command was, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. His last command in the Gospels is, go into all the world. And he's called us all to do it. But the important thing is, he will work with us. He's not going to just send us out without working with us. The verse here says, he confirmed the word with the signs that followed. And he says, they'll speak in other tongues. Can I tell you a quick story? So I was in Peru years ago, and I said this during devotions the other day, and Jim asked me to share it with you as well. I was in Peru years ago, and we had a team member named Erica. And Erica was not the most spiritual person I'd ever met. Kind of like me, you know, if you're around me more than just like casually, you're not going to be very impressed. So Erica was not the most spiritual person. My first impression of Erica was after meeting her, she got on our team bus, not the team bus, the public bus, and for the entire bus ride, swang from the bars like a monkey making monkey sounds while we traveled to our first outreach. And so... Erica, really nice girl. She was 18 years old, a little bit of a goofball. And so we were on outreach with Erica. And in Peru, most people speak Spanish, but there are these other natives that speak in different languages. And one of the largest people groups is the Quechuan people. And they live just outside of Lima and across areas like that. And you can tell who they are just by the way they dress. They don't tend to speak Spanish. Some of them do, but not most of them. And One day we were doing our dance and drama, and there was an older lady dressed in traditional Native clothing, and Erica knew right away she was Quechuan. And we did the drama, and we went out, and Erica said she felt like God told her to go speak to the Quechuan lady. And she said, okay, Lord, but, you know, I don't speak Quechuan. None of the older women especially speak Spanish. How's this going to happen? So she kind of, like, resisted a little bit, but she felt like God was pushing her to go and to speak to this lady. So she went, and she was able to share her faith with her. And she prayed with her to give her life to Jesus, and she was really excited because she'd never actually known a Quechuan to give their lives to Christ. They practiced their native religion. And then after she prayed with her to accept Christ, she had the realization, I'm not speaking Spanish, I'm speaking Quechuan. And, you know, she had to, like, stop and gather herself, because in that moment, she understood and was able to speak a language that she'd never understood a word of before. And unfortunately, she didn't get to keep it, but for that day, she was able to lead that woman into the kingdom of God in a language she'd never understood a word of before. And over and, yeah, amen. Nothing to do with me, but over and over and over again, we see the Lord working with us to bring people into his kingdom. And I know the Lord wants to use you to do mighty things in his name. I have one more verse I'm going to share. And this is the last thing Jesus says before he ascends into heaven. And he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he gives us his power. And that power is to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, in Philadelphia, in our workplace, in our homes, wherever we go, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. I could tell a lot of stories, but I'm going to ask the team to come up. We're going to do a drama for you right now. And Rocco, can you grab this, please? The team is going to do a drama for you that we've been doing on the streets. And the name of this drama is Doors. And the drama, as you watch it, the main character in the drama is this young woman right here. This is Nada, but she is the seeker in the drama. And she represents you, me, and people around the world. So guys, come on up. You can get in your spots. And as you watch it, put yourself in her position. This is the drama Doors. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.
complete health problem.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And now there's one last part to this drama. And you'll see the seeker, who represents every one of us, is in front of the line of people. And the man who represents the Lord God is behind the line. This line of people represents sin. The Bible tells us that every person around the world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it tells us that the wages of our sin is death. So if we live our whole lives and die in the state of being separated from God, we know that we will go to hell. And so around the world, people want to know, how do I get rid of this barrier of sin in my life? How do I get to God? And different people will tell you different things. Some people will tell you that you need to be a good person, and if you do enough good things, you'll be able to get through this barrier. Others will say, if you go to this certain church, if you believe in God, if you do these things that are right, these will get you through this barrier of sin. And so we'll ask the seeker a few questions and see if she can get through. Seeker, are you a good person? She says she's a good person. Do you believe in God? And what about church? Do you go to church sometimes? All right, well, let's see if by being a good person, going to church, and believing in God, she can get through this barrier. She still can't get through. The Bible tells us that there is not one who is good, not one, no man, woman, boy, or girl is good. And even our good works are like filthy rags before God. And it tells us that even the devil and the demons believe in God, believe Jesus is God, and they shudder. And there is no church that can get us through this barrier. Instead, Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So she gets on her knees and she says, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me for all of my sins. And I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my closest friend. And I want to turn away from my sins and live for you. And when she does this, Jesus comes to the barrier and he totally destroys it. He takes the seeker and he says, I love you, and I'll take you just as you are. And this is what Jesus has done for us. And so now our team is going to come out, and they want to get with every one of you, and they want to ask you a very important question. Where do you stand with God? How is your relationship with God? And they want to give you a chance today. If you need to get your life right with Jesus, they want to pray with you and make that happen. All right, so team, you can go ahead. Spread yourselves out. Go ahead, guys. Staff, if you can help them move quickly